You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for sportingnews.com. And we started a new series here on Locked On Fantasy Football this week, looking at the updated expert consensus rankings across the four major fantasy football positions. On the previous show, we talked about the quarterbacks and looking at them, went through all the QB1s, went deep into the QB2s, looking at where they're ranked overall by the industry right now, seeing if they're too high, too low, adjusting those players as needed, knowing that there could be more change here as we go through the off-season workout program, OTAs, mini camp, and then, of course, training camp that's going to come around the corner here. So good time to look at it, know where we are in May, and see how it's going to end up in August. And with everything we look at, look at the tiers as well. With the running backs, we're looking at the standard league here, so non-PPR format just in general. There will weigh in a little bit when we're talking about these players if they're a little bit bumped up. Obviously, the guys that catch passes are up there, but I think in this case, looking at the rankings, a lot of those receiving backs have the greater value anyway because of their production yardage-wise and potential touchdown bonus from the passing game. So let's dive right into it. We've hinted and we've talked about this before. No surprise that Saquon Barkley is the number one back here. Just looking at Saquon Barkley and his role in this Giants offense, he is the Giants offense. I know they gave Sterling Shepard a big deal after they moved Odell Beckham Jr., but you have Golden Tate and Evan Ingram and Shepard. Barkley is the straw that stirs the drink here. For the Giants, he's the centerpiece of this offense. No matter how you cut it, he produced big time, even with limited help. The offensive line should be a little bit better this year as well for the Giants. So Saquon Barkley locked in. This is the high volume production are all there. The number two is kind of interesting as well, Ezekiel Elliott. And keep in mind with the Cowboys, they changed up their backfield. So they drafted a couple backs, Tony Pollard and Mike Weber, also out of Ohio State, but moved on from Rod Smith. And you look at Elliott, I think what could curb him a little in the past games is that Amari Cooper is a big factor. But when you look at it, who's the next receiver? Maybe look at Michael Gallup, a little bit of Randall Cobb, Jason Witten, and Elliott kind of splitting the rest of the targets there. So I think that's the one thing that could bump Elliott down. I think the Cowboys could pass a little bit more this year. They still are running at the heart of their team. Their offensive line still no issues there. But I think Elliott, the durability, the consistency is something that you look at, especially in a standard league where you bump him up a little bit there over those smaller backs that are really making hay in the passing game. And those two back-to-back here are Alvin Kamara and Christian McCaffrey. And I don't know how you can not like either of these guys. I mean, Kamara now technically is their lead back in a lot of situations with Mark Ingram gone. They have Latavius Murray. We know Murray's not going to be much of a factor in the passing game. So Kamara has all that aspect while Ingram was able to cut in a little bit. So in PPR leagues, I like Kamara ahead of Elliott. McCaffrey, I think you can argue that he's the lifeblood of the Panthers offense. Still, I know they're going to incorporate DJ Moore, the second-year wide receiver, a little bit more, just like they used C-Mac more in his second year in Norv Turner's offense. But McCaffrey still is kind of like the Saquon Barkley of Carolina. You do have some other weapons there, and it's a little bit more stable quarterback situation potentially here if Cam Newton's shoulder holds up. The other one, a little bit in flux with Eli Manning versus Daniel Jones, and maybe Jones getting in there could help Barkley. McCaffrey's more status quo there. And in some leagues, I think McCaffrey could go a little bit higher, but I don't see how much higher. He's number four overall, and I think that makes a lot of sense at this position for sure. Then it gets a little interesting. You mentioned, or we mentioned, that these four backs are in the top tier. That means Todd Gurley is not. So Todd Gurley's not even the number five ranked consensus running back in the moment. People are worried definitely about the mysterious knee injury that really burned them, and they have that taste in their mouths from last year, the end of last year in the fantasy playoffs and in the real playoffs, CJ Anderson and all that. So Todd Gurley, they're going to scale down his touches a little bit. I don't know how much they're going to use him in the passing game. That could be limited as well with Cooper Kupp back healthy, using the tight ends a little bit more, spreading around. Between Brandon Cooks and Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, there's targets that actually can be taken away from Gurley in this situation. Where Melvin Gordon, look at him, I still think I would go Gurley over Gordon. Gurley's number six, Melvin Gordon number five. Just, you look at Melvin Gordon, there's a lot of things that could cut into it a little bit. Austin Eckler and his usage, the red zone use of Hunter Henry and Mike Williams throwing the ball with Phillip Rivers. Keenan Allen can also help in short to intermediate situations and finish drive. So I think the touchdown total for Gordon could be cut in a little bit. I see the Gurley, that's where he's going to make his most hay, scoring those touchdowns here. And I don't see a replacement there. Well, Gordon could see a little bit more of an Eckler situation. Well, Gurley, they did draft Daryl Henderson from Memphis, a very fast runner. But right now, I would think it's exaggerated that they want to put Gurley in a committee. Next is David Johnson. Intrigued by him, especially in PPR leagues with Cliff Kingsbury. They should use him better. Security blanket all over the field for Kyler Murray. So a lot of things changing for David Johnson. Well, with Gordon and Gurley, more of things are familiar. So David Johnson could easily leap both these guys because we know what kind of special back he can be. Unleashed, score touchdowns as well. They only has Chase Edmonds behind him. So I'd say you look at David Johnson in a sweet spot to have a big rebound year. And the receiving definitely is a reason why he's ahead of James Conner. And it's interesting, James Conner, as we're still in our second tier, he's number eight, Le'Veon Bell's number nine. I think Conner's attached to the better, more trusted offense. And now there's vacated targets there with Antonio Brown and vacated touchdown potential as well. So that may help Connor. Le'Veon Bell, that's pretty high considering it's a Jets team that is kind of figuring things out offensively with Sam Darnold overall. But Bell, again, catching passes, you're still looking for that from your back regardless of PPR not, because it gives them that supplemental production, a way that they can get that baseline yardage, consistent yardage for you, even if they have an off game here and there. And Joe Mixon, file him under that. And there's a clear separation here between guys we think are going to be mainly feature guys. And for the most part, I mean, Eckler is only going to see change of pace touches behind Gordon. But all these guys, there are no real concern for the touches being cut into by durability or other issues. These guys are pretty durable. There's not much competition there. They're more traditional type handcuff situations. So that's why these 10 backs are your tier one and two there. Now that means there's a couple backs left to round it out as RB1s. And right now those two are Nick Chubb to begin tier three at number 11. And Duke Johnson, if he gets moved here, you might feel a little bit better about Nick Chubb and move him closer to that David Johnson number seven range. But as long as Duke Johnson's around, I get it. He wasn't a big factor last year. They're still going to have to spell Nick Chubb in some way, even without Carlos Hyde. And that would see to make sense to use Duke Johnson in the receiving back row, and that kind of puts Chubb here at number 11. Number 12 is Dalvin Cook, and this is a guy that we really think can be special. Injury durability, I think, bumps him down a little bit. There's no more Latavius Murray behind him, so they are looking at younger backs to try and replace him in a committee. So they feel confident about him there as well. So Dalvin Cook, I think just some of the concerns is the injury, but he's got a range there of 7 to 16. So a lot of guys, if you look at the rankings, different people have these type of guys in the top 10. So I think that's pretty close, and that shows you with Dalvin Cook is number 12, a guy that could touch the ball 20 to 25 times a game, that running back is deep, and running back should be the priority in your fantasy football draft to get at least two of these guys if you can. I mean, there's a few more you can dive into. I think we'll talk about where the cutoff comes, where you start not feeling totally comfortable of the back you have just based on volume. But this year, more than ever, there's enough guys where we feel are going to get a great share of the touches to really think about that, RB2s have really in past years would have been RB1. So there's a lot of depth here early. That doesn't mean you just wait and don't get part of it. I think that makes it clear you want part of it here, because these are difference makers early in the draft and a lot of good options there for you. So that is your first 12, the technical RB1s on the board through two full tiers and the early part of tier three. We'll continue to break down the rest as we get halfway through RB3s as well, but a lot of guys are going to be hired on your fantasy team to represent you at running back. In the real world, hiring used to be hard. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, a confusing review process. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done. That's ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. With ZipRecruiter, they send your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, and they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. ZipRecruiter analyzes each application and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the very first day. And as a listener to Locked On Fantasy Football, you have a very special offer of which you can take advantage of. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. That's ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. That's LOCKEDON. ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. And ZipRecruiter, if you hire them, you know you've got the smartest way to hire for your business. We'll be right back here with a look at the next tier of running backs in the consensus expert rankings for 2019. All right, we went through the top 12. We'll dive a little bit more into that tier three, and we're thinking about talent and volume here in all these situations. And when you get into these RB2s, there's a little bit of question mark, either durability or timeshare or how they're going to be used in each situation, and that's why there's that separation between RB1 and RB2. Marlon Mack really came up strong, was producing sometimes as an RB1 down the stretch last year for the Colts after he got healthy. But we know Nyheim Hines and Jordan Wilkins are still hanging around here. They did also add Spencer Ware, so I don't think they want to make it a committee approach, but they have the volume there in the backfield where Mack, he's the guy that carries, but they think they can mix in other guys to catch the ball. Sonny Michel, when you look at him at 14, a little bit aggressive given that they just drafted Damian Harris from Alabama, someone else to get the touches in that swing, Rex Burkhead role. And you have James White clearly cutting into some action on third down. So there's always something there. Now, Leonard Fournette, when you think about it, he should be bumped up because the Jaguars and their backfield lost T.J. Yeldon and only picked up Alfred Blue. They also have Thomas Rawls and Benny Cunningham. Reichwell Armistead, the fifth-round draft pick there, fullback type, power back type, could be the guy that spells him a little bit, most out of these. But with no Yeldon, I think the concern here why Fournette is lower is we're just worried because he burned us, he got the injury, and we're a little concerned. But I think it sets up for Fournette to have more of that monster role, and so it would be tough to overlook him as a potential feature guy to look at the RB1s. Next is Aaron Jones. We're worried what's going to happen here. Is it Jamal Williams or Dexter Williams that you have Matt LaFleur work in? Coincidentally, the Matt LaFleur back that was left behind with the Titans is 17, Derrick Henry. I think you're worried there without LaFleur. Would they incorporate more Deion Lewis, maybe pass a little bit more, not go to straight up power running game as they made some improvements to their wide receiver core? Same thing with Aaron Jones because they have Aaron Rodgers at full strength, a few more weapons. Can they cut into them? So very similar situations. But if I had to venture, Henry is a little bit safer here for touches versus Jones because there's Williams and Williams. Well, Henry Lewis, we saw him as he was getting older, fading a little bit, and Henry just really being loved by the Titans, the kind of power runner that they like even without LaFleur. Number 18, Damian Williams. I think this is proceed with caution. I know we were excited about what Damian Williams did when the Chiefs needed him without Kareem Hunt. Came on strong and really produced here. And they had limited options to get some help there. But he's Damian Williams. He's been a career backup a little bit, so keep in mind the touches could split a little bit for Williams, but for now, that's what you look at. Chris Carson, be wary of Rashad Penny. They used a first-round pick on him. He did some things well last year. I know Mike Davis is gone there from Seattle, but Chris Carson, guy that limited just because he doesn't catch passes, that doesn't always have the greatest appeal to me. Devonta Freeman, you look at him, a lot of appeal on Devonta Freeman with no Tevin Coleman. I know Ito Smith cut a lot behind Coleman, but Freeman can do it all there in the backfield. They need to reestablish him. He's doesn't have all the mileage there for missing time. Upgraded offensive line. So Freeman is a guy that I'm looking at more, especially when you go old school with the Falcons, when you have Mike Mularkey and Dirk Cutter. That goes back to some of the things they did with Michael Turner early in the day. So Freeman could have that similar role in the triplets, as we saw with Matt Ryan, Roddy White, and Michael Turner. Now it's Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, and Freeman, and there's a lot of appeal there. Now, Kerryon Johnson, definitely want to back him. He's definitely someone we're interested in. He's got a wide range of rankings. Some people have him in that RB1, and others have him as an RB3. I think people are concerned how this committee approach will play a little bit, but keep in mind, Kerryon Johnson is a special back. He was getting some key touches there last year over the situation. I think Theo Riddick cuts into the value a little bit, but Johnson could see a bigger role there in the pass game. Now, Mark Ingram is next. And Mark Ingram, I think I bumped out a little bit, only because Gus Edwards is still hanging around. They drafted Justice Hill. They're going to have limited passing game work from him as they throw the tight ends and wide receiver a little bit more. So Ingram, I think, at 22, they're still here as we're into a tier four. Damon Williams, Chris Carson, Devonta Freeman, Kerryon Johnson, Mark Ingram leading that tier, and we have two more to fill out as RB1s. Phillip Lindsay, they want to run. Phillip Lindsay's coming off the injury. You have a Royce Freeman as well, but Lindsay, I think I would worry less about him in terms of giving up too many touches. Freeman is a good back, but not suddenly Vic Fangio is going to say to his offense to give Freeman a lot more touches. Lindsay is a smaller back, so that could be a bit of a concern that he didn't hold up in the end of last season. So that would be the one reason more that I would shy away and keep him down an RB2 level, but not too much farther down than that. And the final RB2 in this mix is Darius Geis there of the Redskins. This is quite aggressive, given that he tore his ACL in the first preseason game last year. We didn't see the rookie from LSU. Very talented runner. They kept Adrian Peterson there as a contingency. Also have Bryce Love. So there's enough there where you think the Redskins are concerned, but right now he's on track, and that could really bump him up if they really want to feature Geis the way they were thinking last year. But in a way, his presence will help clear up things. Maybe Peterson fades away again. You have Samaj Perine and Rob Kelly totally fully out of this mix. And maybe looking at Bryce Love, because he's coming off a knee injury as well as being the pure backup. So Geis could really see a bump in his value. Now, I think these two guys made tier four as off-cusp RB1s because of what they did last year a little bit. Kenyon Drake, number 25 there, and Lamar Miller, 26. Of these, you've got to like Drake a lot more. Drake really produced as a borderline RB1 last year. Once people stopped complaining and noticed that he was touching the ball still way ahead of Frank Gore and producing, that he was doing fine there. But again, RB2 type situation for him, where Lamar Miller ranked in similar from the 20 to 35 range. Not buying Lamar Miller with Dante Foreman. This offensive line getting limited help on the interior, okay, blocking on the outside. But Miller with Foreman there, I just don't feel it at all as a do not draft type player. A couple more that we'll talk about before we take a break and wrap things up. You had tier five coming here with Tariq Cohen at 27. Now, we liked Tariq Cohen a lot the last time we did this, but that's before we got David Montgomery. And note that David Montgomery, the rookie from Iowa State, who Matt Nagy on the field accepts those Kareem Hunt comparisons. Look at this. He's got a deviation between 11 and 98 in the rankings, while Cohen is a 13 and 40. So we're not sure how this backfield will play out, and this could be very well where we're looking at Montgomery and his upside much higher than Cohen staying in that change of pace role. Now, Tevin Coleman could also rise. I mean, Jerick McKinnon is 34. Tevin Coleman is 28. The two 49ers backs, back-to-back free agent pickups. McKinnon, there was some thought that they could cut him. They're still trying to keep him. But I think Coleman, if you're looking at those two, given they have Matt Breida, Raheem Mostert, some very not durable backs there, that Coleman is in a better position to lead and McKinnon can really fade, and that could bump up Coleman there. Now, Josh Jacobs looked like he would have to fight for touches here with Isaiah Crowell, with Marshawn Lynch fading away, but now he's fighting it with Doug Martin and Jalen Richard, so we'll see how that plays off, but I think Jacobs in the end could bump himself up nicely again. Big deviation on him. Some people have him in RB1 at number 11, and some have him in 91, so still trying to feel that out, and these are things you have to pay attention to in the rankings. Philadelphia, same situation with Jordan Howard at 30 versus Miles Sanders, and who else are they looking at there to touch the ball in Philadelphia? A little bit confusing, but notable that Sanders is 55. So Howard, there's a potential there that he is going to hold up and be the early down guy and the guy that finishes drives as well for the Eagles ahead of these other guys that they have still in the mix, Wendell Smallwood, Corey Clement there. So that's some good feeling there, but more borderline RB2-3 for Howard there at best for 2019. Before we get into the mix here with the rest of the players, keep in mind that Locked On Fantasy Football and all the shows on the Locked On Network are easy listening while on the go here. Check us out. We're all over there, and an easy way to listen in your car, especially with smart speakers, just play Locked On Fantasy Football. Just say it, and you're listening to the insight we have. We're convenient for you, whether you're on the go to and from work or just driving around the middle of the day with a shorter commute from point A to point B. We've got you covered. We've got bite-sized listening just for you, made for your car here. So take us wherever you go, but especially think of us when you're driving around. We are here to entertain and inform you, infotain you in sports and whatever aspect you like of it. Whatever your favorite team or sport is, we've got you covered. We'll be right back here to look at the rest of the notable RB3s here in the rankings in fantasy football early for 2019. All right, let's wrap the show looking at backs. Let's go, I think, 31 to 48. We'll run down these backs really quickly, what we think there, and close the show for you. Latavius Murray, 31. He's in the new Mark Ingram rule. Makes sense. Good high-end handcuff for Alvin Kamara. But I think there's some to be said that, given Mark Ingram's value, that there is some RB2 potential there. It's a tough one to figure out. James White, some people have him aggressively ranked higher. That's a lot to do with PPR. But with Damian Harris in the mix, who can also catch passes, I think James White, I'm bumping down here. Rashad Penny, I'm going to watch this situation carefully with Chris Carson, as I mentioned. And if anything happens to Carson, of course, Penny shoots up into being a solid RB2 for the Seahawks. Jerick McKinnon, we'll see what their usage is. He could go way down here if Coleman keeps continuing there. We mentioned Philip Lindsay at 36. You have Royce Freeman. I think it's a bit aggressive for him. I think you'd go down and have Freeman only in the case of a Lindsay injury or setback with a knee injury. LeSean McCoy, 35 in Buffalo. Who knows what's going to happen there? There's no one that ranks him as an RB2. So with Frank Gore in the mix and Devin Singletary and TJ Yeldon, it's just a mess and a Bills situation I'd like to avoid. And as you mentioned, number 37 was David Montgomery of the Bears there, and we're figuring that out with Terry Cohen at number 27. Matt Breida, pretty aggressive here when you consider Coleman is 28 and McKinnon's 34 to have him at 38. So I think I'd really fade Breida here, and I don't get why he's this high being the third back for now on a team. Maybe if McKinnon's out of the mix, he goes where McKinnon was in the rankings a few spots higher or even stay in this spot. We go to number 39, and we get into tier number 6, according to Fantasy Pros Expert Consensus Rankings. Deion Lewis, again, no more than a handcuff, just not appealing after things happened last year and they went away from the committee in Tennessee. You have Ronald Jones, and this is a guy that we might bump up a little bit. He's number 40. He's also the first Tampa Buck listed here. Number 47, a few picks down, is Peyton Barber. So Ronald Jones' draft actually worked out well for him, where they didn't pursue another back. So maybe with the new change there in the offensive scheme, they'll give Jones a little bit more chance to do things. Now, he's not going to be the pass catcher David Johnson was for Bruce Arians, but there's someone to watch there. It's interesting that Nyheim Hines is number 41. That tells you where a little bit of doubt of where the Colts' backfield is going, Marlon Mack and Spencer Ware and Wilkins. So that makes sense. It's a speculative guy, but overall pretty far down. Now we have Kareem Hunt next. This is very speculative. I don't like it at all at 42, especially indefinitely suspended there. And Duke Johnson at 49. I think people are looking for some Nick Chubb value there, and that's what you're looking at there. We have Ito Smith next with the Falcons. He's next after the Kareem Hunt. I think he has a lot more value behind Devonta Freeman and some production there that we know. Carlos Hyde, I'm taking off the board, not interested in all, because I don't think he can fill in well for Damian Williams or in that offense very well. For the Chiefs there, I think Damian Williams is still the guy that they're going to feature as much as possible there in Kansas City. Hyde, not a bad handcuff to have, but still kind of aggressive there. I'd go more in the 60s where most people rank him. Austin Eckler is number 45 there. I think makes a lot of sense behind Melvin Gordon. We know there's some potential to replace him here. Dante Foreman is 46 there behind Lamar Miller. So I much take Foreman a little higher and Miller way down as I speculate on this backfield. Kenneth Dixon at number 48 here. Not interested at all with Justice Hill and Gus Edwards in the mix. Dixon's going to have a very specialized role catching passing, like I said, with the tight ends and wide receivers now remixed in Baltimore. I don't see that very much happening. CJ Anderson's number 2 in Detroit is number 50, and we mentioned Adrian Peterson, 51, and it just goes away from there into very speculative ads of veterans and third stringers that are younger there. But that's how it breaks down here for you. With the running back consensus expert rankings there, roughly from number 1 to 50 as we get into 6 tiers of running backs and kind of how you would round out your bench. I think the quick thing is to go with as many number 2s on your bench as possible and high upside rookies that could get an opportunity there that are not necessarily number 2. So that's how I kind of fill out my bench in fantasy football. But a lot of that makes sense. A lot of guys ranked a little higher. Maybe some speculation on how some backfields will go in terms of who will touch more balls and all that. So keep that all in mind as you're looking at the early running back rankings here for 2019. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll be back tomorrow with a look at the wide receivers and their expert consensus rankings for fantasy football right now in May 2019.